Om Shanti, dear family, a warm, warm welcome to everyone in the hall and online. We have a very special soul with us, our dear, dear brother Charlie. And we all know he's over 50 years in Gyan and brings a lot of wisdom with him. And recently someone told me about something which is called detached engagement. And I thought, yeah, that is really something that suits to Charlie. When you meet him, you feel so much engagement, you look in his eyes and you feel the drishti, but the next moment he's detached with Baba again. So very beautiful on this topic today about yoga power and natural bestowing. And the first half hour he will share his wisdom with us, and then Sister Ranjani will come at 6 o'clock and have interview with him. She's a jewel from Australia. She is since childhood with Baba, 40 years in Gyan, 30 years living in a center, first in Chennai in India, and then she went to Australia where she is in Glenwood Center. And she can sing, dance, rock painting, do origami, and she can ask very beautiful interview questions on the topic, being a natural bestower through yoga power. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. As I was, as I was sitting and remembering Baba in these last few minutes, I was wondering how you're all feeling being in Madhuban at this moment. Does it feel significant to you? Because we're sitting in Baba's home in so much safety, with so much love and care, and look at our world, there's so much upheaval, so much conflict in our world. And I was just really feeling how relevant the theme is for this season, becoming the bestower. Because it's almost like the scenes of drama are pulling us into that highest form of the confluence age, really, to really be Baba's instrument to give to all our brothers and sisters of this world. And I really love this theme, because it seems that when this life is to remember one and give to all, take from one and bestow to everyone. And to me, that really seems like the formula that works at this time. You know, each time has its own specialty, but it really feels to me that I'm with Baba, and my whole life is just to express that feeling of love which we receive from Baba, which is like a natural bestower. And we all can feel, I think all the Brahman family is feeling, we're in the final moments of this confluence age. Now when we say final, it could be a few months, a few years, whatever. But I think it's in the heart of absolutely everybody. And it's like drama's invoking us to step into that higher stage of the angel. And I think in the heart of all of us, in my heart, the image of the angel is the most moving, inspiring image, that really the angel's in love with one. And it's like that love takes me beyond influence. Why the angel has wings is because we fly beyond the influence of this world and all the stuff of this world, the body consciousness of this world. But then my whole life is to have mercy for my human family. And what I really love about an angel is that an angel suspends judgment. Excuse my throat. An angel suspends judgment. It's like I don't analyze why others are suffering, or perhaps it's their own behavior or their own actions. My part is to be with Baba and just give to everyone. And to me, a natural bestower never thinks, really, I am giving, I am supporting, I am caring, you know, I have to bestow. It's a natural consequence of my relationship with Baba. And probably the most natural expression of the depth, the closeness, the love, the belonging from Baba is to share that feeling wherever I go. And I mentioned this quite a bit recently, because for me, I'm at a point in my Brahman journey where I love everything natural. And I feel whenever I sort of am pushing myself, pressuring myself, forcing myself, then it's like that's my old devotional approach. That's a very religious approach to this life. I really feel that the real Raj Yoga is absolutely natural. And the most natural thing, which is the seed of yoga power and being the bestower, is really just to fall in love with Shiv Baba. The more I go on in my journey, I might sound like a rusty record, but I really feel that this whole life, the whole foundation is falling in love with Shiv Baba, and everything just begins to flow from that point. That's the ultimate practice of this life, just to fall in love with Shiv Baba, because it's the most natural thing. It's in the DNA of every human soul to fall in love. And when I really fall in love with Shiv Baba naturally, I naturally remember him. And that's what I like, that remembrance is a natural consequence of my relationship. I'm not sort of, I have to, I must, or I should, all that sort of language. And when I naturally remember, I will naturally transform. Because when I'm remembering the one who's egoless and incorporeal and viceless, automatically I start to move in that direction. And the automatic consequence I feel is that these feelings that I'm holding in my mind, holding in my heart, they start to express through my face, through my drishti, through my vibrations, through my interactions. And so in a way, you know, my link with Baba, my relationship with Baba, you could call it the yoga power, automatically gives birth to that elevated self that just wants to share and give, not even consciously. It's just like a natural expression of me. And some of us were in the integrated retreat, and there was a similar sort of subject because our theme is becoming the bestower. One meeting with Baba that absolutely touched me to the core was when Baba was speaking, he was sharing, and then he stopped. I always loved it. And then Baba began to just give drishti, and the whole atmosphere in the hall, in Diamond Hall, begins to change. And Baba stopped, and then he said, "Children, do you hear the cries of the devotees? Can you hear the sorrow in the hearts of your family, your human family?" And then Baba stopped again in drishti, and even the atmosphere became more and more powerful and focused. And Baba then said, "Do you just hear it, or do you do something about it? Do we just hear that, like what's happening at the moment in our world out there, or do I do something about it?" And then more drishti. It was like Baba was taking us deeper and deeper, and the vibration was so focused. And then Baba said, "O gods and goddesses, emerge the form of the bestower. You have to give, you have to give, you have to give, you have to give." Who remembers that, Moli? Who was present? Some of us were present. It just touched me so incredibly deeply. And I remember thinking that sometimes on this journey, this journey to learn about myself. We're all here in this incredible university to really understand the self and explore deeply and reveal my original true self. But in doing so, sometimes I can get so self-absorbed in my life and my story and how I feel and what's gone on. And it's like I get so lost in the inner world, and it can become very complicated and I can feel a bit stuck. And I really feel that, yes, of course we have to go deep and see the self. But I feel Baba wants us to do that briefly, you know, focus on that. But really this life is to give. And often I feel that actually stepping into the part of giving and letting go that part of sort of self-absorption sort of connects me to a part of myself that has been, I've lost for a long time. And when I used to meet Baba personally, one of the things which I really used to experience, especially in the initial days when we had the fortune of these, you know, face-to-face meetings with Baba. And you'd sit in front of Baba, and Baba would give long drishti, would always meet through the eyes. It was an incredible feeling sitting in front of Bap and Dada. And sometimes I felt Baba's, you know, drishti was like a laser that went zzz deep into the soul and scanned the soul. But always my feeling was that Baba saw me so elevated, and I realized I saw myself here. And it's almost like I think drama's pushing us to step out of this addiction to this limited vision on who I am and really step into that part of the angel, the bestower. And one of the reasons is I feel it's the thing that really transforms us very quickly. And I was reading one of the Avyatmulis. There's actually a book, I don't know whether you've read it, about all the quotes Baba's given about being the bestower. And I was reading one, and Baba said, like the Father, give the congratulations and greetings of happiness to every soul at every moment. You think about that. Baba's saying, really, this life is to be absorbed with one, and my whole life is, he said, every soul at every moment. And Baba said, whether they are Brahman souls, whether you've never met them before, whether they're souls without knowledge, whether they're contact souls, it doesn't matter. It's like our part is to give these feelings. And the language Baba uses, and also I love this, and I found I studied the Mulis for about 10 years from the year 2000 when Baba was talking a lot about these things. Always the language was, no matter what someone is like, you have to give them the attainments of happiness through your face, through your vibrations. And seeing every soul, Baba said, be happy and give happiness. So Baba pushing us into this highest part of the confluence age and stepping out of that sort of attachment, oh, I'm not there, I'm not good enough, I'm not pure enough. You know, we have this, I think, self-imposed prison that holds me back from stepping in the part that the whole world really wants me to play. And one part of this Muli, which was really amazing, and I'm sure some of you remember, Baba said, never react to others in the way they treat you or react to you. And Baba said, if they give you thorns, you give them roses. If they give you sorrow, you give them happiness. If they give you insults, you give them blessings. Possible? Possible? Doesn't sound very strong to me. We know, I mean, isn't that amazing? It's like not to take anything personally that's coming, because Baba then went on to say, why be influenced by those under an influence? They're under the influence of their sanskaras. Why should we take this so personally where I start to respond in the same way? And yet Baba's trying to encourage us to step into that space. And I feel in the heart of all of us, we know we can reach that place. And yet I think drama is really saying, come, it's the time to really step into that elevated place of not reacting to the negative, but constantly giving the goodwill and positive. And in that Moli too, Baba gave an incredibly graphic image. And he said, today human beings are like polluting factories. It's an image I don't forget. And he described how, and just hold this image in your mind, there's smoke coming out of the eyes, smoke coming out of the ears, smoke coming out of the mouth. Just think of that like a polluting factory. And Baba said, it's the smoke of the vices. And Baba said, sometimes it's the smoke of anger. Sometimes it's the smoke of jealousy. Sometimes it's the smoke of dislike. And so it's like the soul under the influence of itself. And Baba then said, I hope Baba's children don't have smoke coming out of their eyes and ears and mouths sometimes, because you should have blessings and more blessings. Why? Because your part is to be the bestower. You are the deities. The deities are the souls who give. And Baba speaking so powerfully about these things. And once I was also reading where Baba was saying that the bestower is the master merciful. And Baba said to have mercy on the self. What is it? What does it really mean to have mercy on the self? Baba said, whatever you see, whatever you hear, don't speak about it, don't think about it, don't pass it on in any way, don't see it. Let it go instantly. And when you think about it, when we see negative behavior, attitudes, and we start to churn it, what happens to me? It's like I lose my spiritual at that moment, and I get absorbed, I come under the influence. But if I can step aside and maintain my goodwill and let it go, then really Baba was saying that's having mercy for myself, that I don't fall into the old habit of critical thinking, negative thinking, waste thinking. And mercy for others. Baba said, whatever you see and whatever you hear, don't absorb it, maintain good wishes and good feelings. And Baba then went on to say that in one waste word, if I gossip, I pass on what I see, it creates a tree, and that tree becomes a rosary of waste. Sometimes, you know, and that energy sort of takes me away from this elevated place I want to sit in now, which is really to be the bestower. And I've often think about these things because I really do feel this is the final part of we Brahmins, to step into this place in a natural way. Because what is so lovely about this life is that the giving comes, it's the ultimate expression of my relationship with Baba. It's the most natural expression of my love for Baba. And in a way, that love for Baba we could call yoga power. Because to me, the most powerful thing, the most powerful energy, if you can say, is to have total love for the incorporeal. A pure thought of love for the incorporeal. The more I accumulate that energy of these pure thoughts of love, belonging, connection, it builds up within me and it automatically will flow out of me wherever I am. But I think the challenge for all of us is we probably talk more about yoga power than almost any other subject. But all of us know how challenging really to have that total absorption in one is. My own is often we just sit down, want to go to Baba, and I'm pulled here, I'm pulled there. And over a period in my brown life, I start to have this subtle feeling, I'm a bit of a failure at meditation. I'm not good at it. Because I just seem to be chronically pulled in a destination. Rarely I reach this pure absorption in one. So I start to sort of deal with that, I start to put my energy into other things, service and the family. And yet all of us, I think, in the heart have this pure wish to have that quality of yoga. And to me, it's like the result of all aspects of my life with Baba. It's not that I just sit down and go there. It's like I have to build each step so that it releases me, so that I'm absolutely present and absorbing from Baba, and hence those feelings, those vibrations radiate, and this natural bestower stage really emerges. And one of the mulis which really helped me sort of, I think, start building this stage was when, and we revised it about a year ago, when Baba talked about the two principles of freedom. In other words, the two principles that, as I said to remember Baba, start to free me from the attractions, the repulsions, the pulls, the influences, so that I can really absorb naturally in Shiv Baba. And those two principles of freedom were to have one Baba and none other, so it frees me from the pull to others. And the second principle was everything is Baba's, nothing is mine. And in a way, I feel that's the bedrock that we build a true yoga stage on. It's like, in a way, my yoga takes me to that place of having one Baba and none of the I and my stuff. But when I really sit with that, those two principles, it's like the bedrock that I build a yoga stage on. And the second thing I really feel is lifestyle. The more I've observed myself, and I really feel that my lifestyle, what I do during a day, has a massive influence on my ability to remember Baba. Meaning that, you know, when I do actions that are not really accurate, and I often feel if I want to meditate, it's not when I sit to meditate, it's the other 18 hours of the day. And this is why Baba emphasizes Srimat. To me, Srimat is a code of action, that when I do that accurate action, it doesn't pull me away. When I do inaccurate action, I sit to remember Baba, it's like my intellect's pulled to what I said to somebody, my intellect's pulled to my thinking about a situation, or I start to analyze something that happened in the day. And so it's almost like following the code of conduct. To me, it's not rules and regulations. It's like this deep code of truth of how to live in this world and free myself when I do accurate actions from the pulls, the influence, the attractions. So I'm starting to build my inner world so I can have this quality of connection. And then thirdly, to me, the practice of soul consciousness, to me, is the bread and butter of this life. And this is what the Yagya was built on in Karachi, this deep practice of soul consciousness. Then love. The soul is freeing itself from all the pulls and attractions. I absorb myself in Shiv Baba. And I think that love takes me into a silence where I'm just present in front of Baba, the soul. I'm not pulled by my sense organs and things to do. I'm present, I'm absorbing. And the quality of those thoughts and feelings, I think they just naturally begin to flow into my behavior and life. And this is why I think that the natural expression of this connection, this love, this belonging, is to give. And if you look at the great yogis in our families, the daddies, they were amazing givers. They never stopped giving. And that giving in itself took them to where they reached, I feel. Because what I've observed in myself is that the more I sort of bestow, so to speak, it connects me to my higher self. Because I've observed like four selves inside of me. There's my body conscious self, the one that's being influenced by my old self. We all know that self. The second is my Brahman self, which is my effort-making self, the one always in the process of learning and changing. But the third is the server self, you know, the one engaged in serving and doing and planning and programs. And that's an important self. But the fourth is my benevolent self. And the server self serves through doing. The benevolent self serves through being. And that's the place where I think we all want to go, where it's not because you're clever and you're talented and you're skillful facilitator, whatever, but your sense of self, your presence actually, you know, enables yourself to give to others. And I find that the more I'm automatically in that place of giving, it feels a very comfortable place because it somehow connects you to your higher self, because you can only give from an elevated place. And it can bypass that body conscious self, that effort maker self sometimes is battling and struggling when I step into that place of giving. And I notice someone is just sitting beside me. Perhaps, but I just want to share one more thing, that one thing I've realized too, that stepping into this part of the bestower helps me deal with one of the biggest addictions that all of us stepped into this life in having. And that's the addiction of taking, absorbing, being influenced. The nature of the human spirit at the end of the cycle, I'm empty. And I always want to fill the emptiness. So I'm always absorbing, taking. I want love, respect, all of those sorts of things. And it's like the whole framework of the mind, without being conscious, I'm looking for love, belonging, care, respect. So when I take, it's such a deep habit to take hurt, take sorrow, take insult, take disrespect. How deep is it? When I came, I was amazed just how I could observe how sensitive I could be. Just to not even a word, but a facial expression of somebody. And yet when we step into the mode of the bestower, what's happening? I take from Baba and I'm starting to give. And this is why I feel service, whether it's the doing or the benevolence type of service, is such an important spiritual subject. It's actually a spiritual subject, because the more I'm in the mode of giving, supporting, respecting, loving, the less I'm taking hurt, insult, disrespect. And I think that's the formula for now, to take from Baba and really to to give to others. And I love, one of the last things is just all the daddies, I can remember them saying, they talked about the philosophy of blessings. Because when I take from one, and a natural consequence, I'm not thinking I'm giving, I'm serving, I'm just being, then what happens is automatically, unconsciously, you win blessings from the hearts of many. And I often observe Daddy Prakashmani, Daddy Jenki, that everywhere they went, everyone's faces would light up, would smile, would be loving. Imagine wherever you go in your life, you just get that energy of blessings, of goodwill. It gives you so much enthusiasm, no matter what you face, to keep going.